Most of us know we should wear sunscreen on sunny days like today, but it's not something that we all do as consistently as we should. So in this Please Explain segment, we're going to talk about sunburns, what they are and what the sun does to our skin and what the consequences can be over time. Joining us is Dr. Jennifer Stein, the Associate Director of the Pigmented Lesion Service at NYU Langone Medical Center's Ronald O. Perlman Department of Dermatology. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
And we invite our listeners to join the conversation. You can give us a call at 212-433-9692 or leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org or also on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So, Dr. Stein, what happens to our skin when we're sunburned?
So when you have a sunburn, it's a sign that the sun is actually damaging to the skin, and the skin is trying to protect itself, and there's a lot of inflammation, and that's the redness that you're seeing, is the skin kind of trying to protect itself from the damage from the sun.
Is simple tanning a mild version of sunburn?
It's a little bit different, but it's also a sign that there is damage happening to the skin cells.
So even normal, healthy-looking tanning can have a little, can be causing a little bit of damage?
Right, and I think we really need to think about that idea of the healthy tan, that there really isn't such a thing as a healthy tan. And we know, especially from people who are using indoor tanning beds, that doing that is really damaging the skin, and those people are definitely increasing their risk for skin cancers, including melanoma, which can be a deadly form of skin cancer.
And we'll get to that later.
Sure.
How long does it take to get a serious burn? Can it be less than 15 minutes?
It really depends on what your skin type is, how fair or how dark you are. So people who have darker skin have more natural protection in their skin. They have more melanin, which is the natural protection that gives your skin color. So they can stay out longer than somebody who's really fair, somebody with light skin or redhead. They certainly can, yeah, even within 15 minutes can start to burn.
When our skin is exposed to a lot of sunlight on the beach, for example, with no sunscreen, what actually is happening to it?
So the sun is delivering a lot of energy right into the skin, and that can damage the DNA. And we know the DNA is really important for making the cell work the way it's supposed to. And when you have mutations or damages the DNA, eventually that can lead to a skin cancer.
What happens when the skin peels or we blister? Is that a sign that we have really put ourselves in danger?
It is. When you're seeing a blistering sunburn, it means there's so much damage and so much inflammation that inflammation eventually leads to a blister. The peeling is just the blisters, even if they're teeny little blisters that you don't really see as blisters. If you're seeing peeling, it means there's so much inflammation that skin is peeling off. New skin is trying to come in and heal itself.
Should we really? Oh, go ahead.
But we know that if you've had blistering sunburns, just that alone really puts you at increased risk for skin cancers.
Should we really be calling it a radiation burn, which sounds a lot more ominous than sunburn?
Well, ultraviolet light is radiation. Yes, it's radiation coming from the sun. I never tell people they have to be a vampire, can go out and have a good time. You just want to do it in a way to try to protect yourself from that damage from the sun.
Can you explain the UV spectrum? Are there more than one kind of sunburn?
There's not really more than one kind of sunburn, but ultraviolet light, the light that comes from the sun, there's a whole spectrum of energy of the wavelengths of light that come through. And when we think about ultraviolet, that's that higher kind of energy light that comes from the sun. And there's ultraviolet A, B, and C. C doesn't really reach the earth. And a lot of it is UVA, ultraviolet A, and then some of it is B. B, we know, really causes a lot of the burn that we see. We used to think B was bad and A was good. A caused the tan, B causes the burn. But now we know A is actually really also responsible for damage, like those that lead to skin cancers, and also the aging that you see in people who, the premature kind of photo aging, the brown spots and wrinkles from people who've spent lots and lots of time in the sun.
It's often pointed.
Both A and B, is you have to worry about both of them.
It's often pointed out that skin is an organ, and I've always wondered how that works. The heart is an organ, the kidney is an organ. How is the skin an organ?
The skin, we say the skin's the largest organ in your body. And the skin plays such an important role because it's the whole outer covering of your body. It's like a big protective wall that keeps the inside in and the outside out. It keeps infection. It keeps your moisture in. And so it's playing a really important role. So you have to take good care of your skin. And skin cancer is the most common kind of cancer in man. So it's an important thing to be aware of.
And melanoma is one of the worst of all the cancers.
Right.
It, chemotherapy and the other treatments for other cancers don't always work with melanoma.
Right. So melanoma, when it's not found early, can be very aggressive. It can spread to other parts of the body, and there aren't great cures. Now, fortunately, there's a lot of new drugs that are just coming down the pipeline, some new things that have been recently released that give people, some extra time. There are some good treatments that are just coming out now, but still our best efforts with melanoma, your goal is always to find it early and to do whatever you can to try to reduce your risk of getting melanoma in the first place.
Doesn't skin have a number of layers? How important is that in understanding this whole process?
Well, there's an outer part of the skin that almost looks like a brick wall if you look at it under the microscope. And that's really, if you think about it as a wall, it's holding the skin together and keeping the outside world out from coming into your skin. And within that layer, there are cells that specialize just in making that protective pigment. Those are the melanocytes, or the cells that make melanin. And that's the normal color that everybody has. And some people have more of that, some people have less. If you have more, you have more natural protection.
My guest is Dr. Jennifer Stein, who's a dermatologist at NYU Langone Medical Center. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. Today's Please Explain is looking at sunburn and related issues. And we are inviting your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. Is makeup that's worn daily, does that function as a sunblock for women?
Some makeups do have sunblock, and so that's a nice way of getting some sun protection in it. There's also moisturizers that have some sunblock in them and some sunscreen in them, and so using combinations of them I think is fine. If you're really going to be sitting out at the beach, I wouldn't just depend on, if you're going to lie out on a lounge chair, just your makeup with an SPF of 15 is probably not going to do it for you. But I think it can be very helpful as one part of your sun protection plan.
A listener asks, I'm riding my bicycle across Brooklyn to the beach today. I wear sunscreen, but now I'm really concerned. You're scaring our listeners. Am I protecting myself enough?
So, I love to go to the beach myself. I would never tell somebody not to go to the beach. This is the summertime. It's my favorite time of year. So here's some things you can do to try to make it as safe as you can when you're at the beach. So one is, if you can, to avoid the middle of the day. We say between 10 and 4 is when the sun's right overhead. But, if your pool doesn't open in your community until 11 o'clock, you're still going to go to the pool. So trying to sit in a shady spot or under an umbrella is helpful. And then I think...
Should you wear a shirt?
That's what I was going to next. So protective clothing is so important. And now it's easier to find kind of fashionable sun shirts and rash guards. And you can find fancy ones. You can find inexpensive ones online. It's really easy. Even any kind of shirt is better than nothing. So often people are going out in just a little bikini, and their shoulders and their chest and upper back just fry. So a shirt, so important. A hat, sunglasses, more clothes you wear, less you have to worry about the sunscreen.
When
sunscreen, yeah.
Although it does lead to strange looks when you take that shirt off, and you have very light skin and then very dark skin where you didn't have a shirt. I've read about a recent study, that mm-hmm. indicates that repeatedly burning your skin as a young person absolutely increases your chances of developing skin cancer as you age.
Right, yeah. So this is a large study of nurses where they followed them over kind of a long period of time. It was over 100,000 American women who were nurses that they followed and asked people about their lots of different habits. And they found that people who had more than 5 sunburns between their teenage years, between 15 and 20, were definitely an increased risk for all kinds of skin cancers. They said 68% higher for basal cell and squamous cell. And for melanoma, they were at an 80% increased risk for melanoma. So don't burn.
A lot of young people even put oil on their skin, kind of fry themselves, and then they use reflectors. Is that all just making the situation worse?
It is. You really don't want to be sitting there trying to get a tan or trying to increase your brow. I think what's important now is to try to change the mentality of people that you don't have to be tan to look glamorous. And now there's so many stars out there who are making that kind of natural look more popular. If you're born with dark skin, great. But if you're born with fair skin, you just enjoy it, make it look healthy and beautiful. In the long run, it's going to be more beautiful that way than if you fry your skin now when you're young.
What are freckles? Why did they become more prominent after we've been in the sun?
So people with very light skin, especially redheads, are more likely to freckle. And that's just part of that reaction to having the damage from the sun on the skin. The skin's trying to put out some extra melanin to try to protect itself from future burns. So it's something you see in fair-skinned people. We're trying to increase the amount of melanin. But we know that freckling, the people who make those freckles definitely increase risk for skin cancers.
And what about moles?
So moles are actually growths as opposed to freckles, which is just some extra pigment. Moles are growths, and they're harmless. Moles themselves are harmless growths of the melanocytes, the cells that make the normal pigment, melanin, in your skin. But people who have lots of moles are at increased risk for having melanoma, not necessarily in one of those moles, just overall. So those are the kinds of people who should be watched by a dermatologist.
And you said earlier that if you have more melanin in your skin, if you are somebody who's dark-skinned, there's less of a problem. But people of color also wind up getting melanomas, don't they?
Yes, they can. So definitely less than fair-skinned people, but it's possible also. And I think there's less awareness in people who have darker skin. And it's important to remember in people with medium or darker skin, so people of Asian ethnicity, African ethnicity, if you have darker skin, an important place to look for melanoma is actually on the hands and feet. And, for example, Bob Marley died of a melanoma on his toe. So that would be a new spot, often brown or black, doesn't have to be. Comes out of the blue, growing, make sure it gets looked at.
That's
even
because there was less melanin there?
We don't know exactly why it happens there. It's the same amount of, so it's called acro. So the melanoma that happens on the hands and feet happens with the same frequency across all people of all skin types. But people with the darker skin are so much less likely to get melanomas elsewhere on their body. That's the place they still get it. So there's a lot of research going into that kind of melanoma right now, learning why it happens and best way to treat it.
And I understand that during melanoma surgery, it's easy to spot the cancer cells because they're dark.
Well, the good thing about melanoma is it gives you clues on the outside of the body as opposed to a cancer that happens inside the body. So we talk a lot about what the warning signs are for melanoma. When it comes time to actually remove a melanoma, that usually happens by either a dermatologist or a surgeon will remove it, and then it gets sent to a laboratory where they look under the microscope to make sure that all of the cells have been removed.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll be taking listener calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Lots of people are calling in, and we will try to get to as many of those calls as we can to Dr. Jennifer Stein, the Associate Director of the Pigmented Lesion Service at NYU Langone Medical Center's Ronald O. Perlman Department of Dermatology. Stay with us for more on today's Please Explain. ¶¶ We are back with Dr. Jennifer Stein, the Associate Director of the Pigmented Lesion Service at NYU Langone Medical Center's Ronald O. Perlman Department of Dermatology. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And let's go to a caller from Greenpoint. Walker, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, man?
Okay. What's happening?
I have a question. So if you wear sunblock and you still get a tan, is that in any way bad?
So often people come in the office and they say, I don't know what happened. I was wearing SPF 80 in Mexico and I still got a tan. So sunscreen is good, but it's only one piece of your bigger protection plan. So it's good in that when it helps protect you from getting a burn, and but often you still tan through it. So if you're still tanning through it, it means it's not working 100%. There's still some radiation that's coming through and still damaging the skin.
What do sunscreens actually do? How do they work?
So there's two kinds of sunscreens. One is a physical blocker. Those are the ones that have zinc or titanium in them. And then there's some other chemical blockers. Basically, what they do is they absorb that energy. Especially the physical blockers are really physically blocking the light from getting into your skin.
If you're burned, what are the degrees of severity, and when should you seek treatment from a doctor? And can a doctor do anything to help?
So most of the time, you're not really going to go in to see a doctor just for a sunburn. So, you know, you can get a little bit of redness. Then there's the more blistering kind, the kinds that really blister and peel. For people, if you're actually feeling sick, and that can happen for a really severe type of sunburn. So if you're feeling feverish and cold and you're confused, those would be severe forms of sunburn. And then you certainly would want to go in to see your doctor or even an emergency if you're actually not feeling well.
If your burn is mild but makes you feel uncomfortable, should you put anything on it? Ice, lotion? Some people say cool milk. Would aloe be a good treatment?
At that point, you just do whatever feels good. So,
Noxzema skin cream used to be the thing in the 60s.
So you want to moisturize the skin. Sitting in a cool bath feels good. The cool milk soaks feels good. Kind of takes the heat out of the skin. So just whatever makes you feel good at the time.
What are the other real health risks from a light tan that you get through sunscreen?
So if you're seeing a tan, it means there is some damage that's happening to the skin. And we know that kind of goes along with having a skin cancer. So I think not as much as if you're actually having a real sunburn. But your goal should be that you're really not trying to get tan. But certainly if you look at anybody, even people who are wearing sunscreen, wearing their hats, protective clothing, doing everything they're supposed to do, I think all of us are going to be a little bit tanner by the end of the summer than we are when it starts out. You can't drive yourself crazy. You know, you want to go out and enjoy the summer. Just try to do it without getting a real sunburn. Do it in as healthy a way as you can.
When you say skin cells die, don't skin cells die all the time anyway and then just are replaced by other new cells?
Sure. Skin cells are turning over all the time. The way the skin is set up is the bottom layer of the skin is the source for new skin cells, and they kind of make their way up to the top. It looks kind of like a brick wall of skin cells, and so that's turning over all the time.
So what's the difference between that and the cells that die? Aren't they just replaced by new cells also?
They do. I think maybe you're thinking of that when you have damage to skin cells from a sunburn or then you start to actually get mutations in the DNA, one of the things that the body does to try to protect those cells from becoming skin cancer is it will purposefully actually allow those cells to die before they can become a skin cancer.
Mm. Yeah. Susan from Westchester, how are you on the air?
Hi, yes. I have a question that's actually a segue from the doctor's point about physical blockers and chemical blockers. I always have trouble figuring out which one would be less damaging to use because, of course, I don't like putting chemicals, unnatural chemicals on my skin. But on the other hand, with the zinc-based and titanium-based physical blockers, those are made with nanoparticles, which I've also heard can be damaging to the DNA. So I feel like it's a choice between two evils, and I'll take my answer offline.
Okay, thank you for calling.
So there's a lot of controversies about sunscreens right now. We don't really feel that there's enough evidence that there's a problem with the sunscreens that are out right now. But what I say is you never want to just rely on your sunscreen. So for people who are really concerned about sunscreen, just the more clothing you wear, sitting in the shade, wearing a hat, all that is much more important than the amount of sunscreen that you're going to put on. You know, I think on kids, usually I recommend a physical blocker. The physical ones, the zinc or titanium, they're now formulated better that they do rub in better. And the chemical ones rub in even a little bit easier than the physical ones.
What does SPF mean?
Okay, so what SPF tells you is it tells you how much longer you can stay out in the sun with sunscreen on and not burn compared to without wearing the sunscreen. So if you can stay out, so if you have an SPF of 30, it tells you you can stay out 30 times longer with your sunscreen than without. But that just tells you how much UVB protection, because remember, B is what gives you the burn. So you want to look for a label that says broad spectrum to tell you that there's good UVA protection also. You want to protect yourself against both of those.
A caller wonders if sun penetrates windows and whether you can get a burn even though you're indoors.
Good question. Okay, so through window glass, visible light comes through from the sun, because that's how you see through a window, and UVA can come through the window. So if you're sitting really close to a window, you are getting some UVA is coming through to your skin. The B doesn't come through, so you can't really burn through it. But there's actually been a publication of a person who spent their whole lifetime working next to a window just on one side of her body, and you could see there really was a difference in terms of the freckling and the sun damage from one side compared to the other. But I don't think you have to drive yourself crazy when you're sitting inside. I think if you're inside, for the most part, you're okay.
John in New Jersey asks on our show page, my light-skinned daughter has started using a popular skin darkening product. What do you think, he says, the guest, about those products?
So if you're talking about the creams and sprays that make you look tan, I think if you feel like you have to look tan, you're better off doing that than going to a tanning bed for sure. We know tanning beds are not safe. But I think the best message really is to send, especially to young people, is to just Skin Cancer Foundation had a saying, go with your own glow. So if you're born with dark skin, great. If you're born with fair skin, you don't feel like you have to look dark. Just make your skin look beautiful and naturally healthy.
Jerry in Hoboken asks, why do antibiotics increase the chance for sunburn?
Oh, good question. So antibiotics, especially things in the tetracycline family like doxycycline, can increase your sensitivity to the sun. And, you know, and there's other medications also. So and I think each one has its own kind of mechanism that we don't necessarily understand completely, but it's something to look out for, especially with that antibiotic, doxycycline, and others. So there's often a warning label that comes on your medication. So another thing to think about.
Another listener, in fact, a few listeners are wondering about getting enough vitamin D. Do you get vitamin D from the sun when you're wearing sunscreen?
Right. So I would always say
I have smart listeners. Have you noticed?
Yes. It's great listeners. So if you're doing all these things and being so careful about the sun, you want to make sure you get enough vitamin D through your diet, which is probably a good habit to be in throughout the year because in the wintertime, especially here in New York, you're all covered up. You're not getting much vitamin D then anyway. So the safe way to do it is to get it through your diet, either drinking milk or taking a supplement. Everybody needs different amounts, so best to ask your primary care doctor how much is right for you.
Is there anything that you can do to reverse the effects of sun exposure after the fact?
I think there really is. So even if you were a kid or a teenager who had lots of burn, and that was me, I had tons of sunburns, so I'm very fair-skinned, and I used to love to just sit out, and I got a lot of burns. I think it's not too late. So we know that the body's immune system can really look out for those cells that are sun damaged, that have damage in them, and repair them. Like we were talking about before, the skin does turn itself over. But if you got to give yourself a break. If you keep bombarding the skin with more and more radiation, more and more UV light, you just don't get a chance to repair all that. But all the time I see patients who come in who have lots of sun damage, lots of precancers. We start treating them. They start wearing a hat like a man with no hair on their head. They finally start wearing a hat, giving themselves a break. We treat them, and you really can repair it. So not too late to make a difference.
Dr. Jennifer Stein, a dermatologist at NYU Langone Medical Center, is our guest on today's Please Explain. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Let's go to another call. This one is from Dan from Suffolk County. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I'm 60. I've had plenty of sun exposure, and it turned out I did have a little freckle that looked a little unusual to me. And I asked my doctor if he could do a biopsy, and they did, and it was melanoma, and it was extracted. And the hole that they, well, the extraction hole was quite large compared to the freckle. They said they did have, they found clear cells all around, but that I could be more prone for melanoma in the future. Can that melanoma just show up anywhere, or would it still be in more sun spotted areas? Or how does, you know, I know I'm supposed
good
to get
question.
Checkups.
But yeah. Doesn't it metastasize? Melanoma does metastasize once you've had it the first time,
okay,
or
so
it can metastasize.
So a couple of things. Fortunately, most melanomas are found early, and they don't metastasize. If a melanoma isn't found early and it continues to grow deeper into the skin, that's when it can get into the lymphatics or blood vessel and travel to other parts of the body. So if you've had a melanoma, when you come into the dermatologist, what we're checking for is a couple of things. One, we usually feel the lymph nodes to make sure it's not traveled to other parts of the body, to lymph nodes. The other is we check the site of the melanoma itself. We look at the scar to make sure it's not coming back in that same place again, and that can happen. And then the third thing is we're looking at the rest of your body to see if you've made a new melanoma, because people who've had a melanoma before are more likely to make another one down the road. And fortunately, though, we know those people, often that second melanoma gets picked up very early because everyone's watching carefully. And I do just want to make one mention of what the important warning signs are for melanoma.
As a doctor, you can spot a melanoma easily,
right.
But if I see a spot on my leg, I may just think it's something else.
Right. So let's talk about some of those warning signs. So an easy way to remember is A, B, C, D, E. So A for asymmetry, one side looks different from the other. B for an irregular border. C for too many different colors. D for diameter or size bigger than a pencil eraser, and E for evolving or changing, something that always looked a certain way. Now it's growing, changing colors, itching, bleeding, doesn't seem right. You want to get that checked out.
What should, a listener asks, what should people look for if they had a lot of sun exposure and have gotten sunburns in the past and are concerned about skin cancer? Is basal cell carcinoma harder to spot than melanoma?
Okay, good. So melanoma tends to be brown or black, doesn't always have to be. Basal cell and squamous cell are the two non-melanoma skin cancers. Basal cells tend to be skin-colored or pink. They can have a little color to them. Often it'll look like a bump or a spot. It can even be a flat spot. Sometimes people say at first they thought it was a pimple, but it's not going away. It's around for weeks and weeks or months, growing, bleeding, even itching. Those are all important signs. And those tend to be, especially the basal cell and squamous cell, in places you've had a lot of sun, like the face, the chest, the backs of the hands. Melanoma, it's not just about sun. It's a little more complicated. For the men, most common spot is the back. For women, most common spot is the leg. We think it's places people get bursts of sun, mostly covered up with clothing, and then you're on your vacation in Florida and you get a burst of sun there.
Well, you're not likely to see it if it's on your back, so you need somebody else to spot
yes.
it for you.
Very good point. With men, actually, there's been studies that wives are very good at finding melanomas on the backs of their husbands, because that's the problem with melanoma in men is often it gets missed. So you have to remember to look at your back or get a loved one or friend or family member to help you look at your back.
Paul in Bay Ridge asks, what about constant daily sun exposure among lifeguards? Are they potentially doomed to skin cancer condition later in life, even though their skin's melanin adapts over time?
We know that being a lifeguard is actually a risk factor for having a skin cancer. So if you're a lifeguard, you just got to be really careful sitting under the umbrella, wearing a hat, wearing a shirt, just kind of doing the best you can. But definitely being a lifeguard really increases your risk for skin cancers.
April on Twitter asks, how much protection do you need for dark skin?
So, you know, what we say in general, people want, looking for an SPF of 30 or higher, and there's just this whole spectrum of how dark your skin is. I think you have to know yourself, how quickly do you get a sunburn? You know, the quicker you are to burn, the more careful you want to be.
John from Paramus wonders whether you need sunblock when it's hazy and overcast.
Oh, so good question. So certainly you're less likely to get a sunburn then, but still the light is penetrating through, and you certainly can still get a sunburn. And often that's when people get kind of lax and they think, all right, I don't really need to worry today because it's not that sunny and maybe they spend extra time outside. You still can actually get a burn.
Does moisturizing the skin regularly help the skin repair faster?
You know, I don't really think there's any reason to believe that.
Should you use aloe?
Not necessarily, and actually some people get allergic to aloe, so you have to be a little careful about that too. But there's not really any evidence that aloe is does anything to prevent you from getting a skin cancer.
A listener wonders whether the spray sunscreens are bad, especially for kids.
So I don't think you want to spray it into your face, and you don't want to spray it around a barbecue or it could light on fire. And I don't know how great they are for the environment, but certainly the benefit of it is it's very quick, and if you have a wriggly little kid, it's an easy way to get it on. You know, if you're concerned, just go for the creams sticks.
We're pretty much out of time, but as a dermatologist, do you have thoughts about whether or not changes in the ozone layer are affecting us, making us more vulnerable to burns?
You know, I don't feel like I'm an expert to really answer that question, but I think there is some evidence that the sun is stronger now than it ever was before, which is just a reason to really be more careful now than ever.
And use a sunblock again. What is the one you suggest?
We say at least a 30. The reason to go higher is because most people don't use the same amount as the manufacturer tested, so you don't really get the same amount. So just higher is probably even better.
Dr. Jennifer Stein is the Associate Director of the Pigmented Lesion Service at NYU Langone Medical Center's Ronald O. Perlman Department of Dermatology. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thanks so much for having me.